Hello, this is Larry Highsmith and Derek Bruton. We are here today to visit with you about the Outdoor Challenge. We put together this little online orientation so that we could spend less time at the event doing this, but we want to cover a few things with you, and so hopefully you will be able to understand a few of the details of the contest prior to actually being there. What we do want you to do as well is be sure and look over our rules and resources guide, which is on the 4-H Outdoor Education webpage. Be sure and look at that because that's got all the details, and you will need to know all of those as you go along. One of the things we want to visit with you about is contest format. We want to make sure that you understand that all the contest officials and the facility staff, that would be the 4-H Center staff, are not responsible for chaperoning the kids during this event. We're actually putting the event on, and the chaperoning needs to come from parents and other folks, other adults from the counties. We will be putting together a team order for each event, and this will be done randomly. We've got a randomizer. We'll take all the names on the registration and randomize those, and we will announce those at each event. The reason we tell you this is because we need you to get to each event in a timely fashion. Don't expect that if you started last at this event that you're going to be last at the next one, or you may not even be first. So the randomizing of those names will just put you in a random order. So get your gear, get on to the next event. Each team is responsible for getting to their events on time. We'll release you, and of course if something happens and we have an event go over time, we will make concessions for that time frame. But we do want you to get your team and get to events in a timely fashion. Now let's talk about a few contest expectations. We do expect youth to be fully trained and prepared for each of the 10 events. There is no time in the schedule for coaching and assistance from the contest officials. We try our hardest to help out, and we understand their situations. But for the most part, we need it to just run smoothly like any other contest. So they need to be ready to go with their equipment, the equipment setup, and the equipment use. Youth must be competent and experienced with the use of equipment and the safe handling of equipment. And this is more prevalent in the use of firearms than any other thing, but it goes with anything. It goes with fishing equipment, canoeing and kayaking, and all of that sort of thing. Kids need to know and have had experience. I can't say that enough. They must have had experience using this equipment, and especially when it comes to firearms. We just cannot tolerate them handling a piece of equipment in an unsafe situation. If they're borrowing or sharing equipment, that's fine. We usually make this happen, but they also need to have used and practiced with whatever equipment that is prior to coming to the event. And especially, once again, firearms. I don't like seeing a kid touch a firearm for the first time, and believe me, they will tell me when they've handled this shotgun for the first time today. That's not acceptable. They must be accepting of disqualification rulings from contest officials if those kinds of training and preparedness expectations haven't been met. We'll know. So youth and adults must understand that is a grounds for disqualification. It is responsibility of the parents and the leaders to ensure these youth are responsibly trained and properly trained and prepared at this contest. It's for the safety of all. Please refer also to the firearm safety rules that are posted in the event rules and procedures and in that guide, and make sure that the youth understand each one of those and that those rules are followed.
Let's take a moment and talk about the check-in process. Once all the teams from your county have checked in, we will then begin our first event, which will be gear judging. And the reason why we do this is so that we can minimize any possibilities of teams sharing information from one team to the other. Let's take a quick second and talk about some of the safety aspects of the contest. First and foremost, this is a summertime contest, so we want to make sure that our kids are wearing clothes that are comfortable and cool throughout the contest. So that includes things like baseball caps, long sleeve shirts, and those kind of clothing. Shorts are obviously encouraged, and so just dress appropriately for the day. Also, we want to make sure that our teams are wearing closed-toed shoes. This includes times when they're getting in and out of canoes, so we want to make sure that there are no flip-flops worn at any time during the contest. The only exception to that might be around the pool when we're doing swimming. And so just, again, follow the rules that are posted and printed in our rules and guidelines.
Safety. Let's talk safety for a minute. There's a lot of various safety points that we want to make sure everyone's thinking about. Equipment in good working condition, as we said before, is a safety concern. So make sure all your equipment is in good condition and working well. As Derek spoke about wearing proper clothing to stay cool, we want to think about heat exhaustion, heat stroke. So make sure you're watching each other and make sure your kids are drinking. Hydration is another safety concern. So we will have water coolers set up around the facility and around each of the events as they're going on. But we will require that you bring a bottle, a refillable bottle, so that you can drink and refill and continue to drink throughout the day. Sunscreen is very important. Can't tell you what to wear, but we encourage you to wear some sunscreen and protect yourselves from that. At the facility, there's all kinds of things that bite and itch. There's ticks, mosquitoes, chiggers, spiders, centipedes, scorpions, snakes. All those kinds of things need to be prepared for the ticks and mosquitoes and chiggers. You can wear some repellent. Be sure you take it and have it with you, because reapplication through the day is important. Same with sunscreen. When we're out moving from event to event, most of the walkways are pretty clear and straightforward. We do have a few that, especially when we're going down to Lakeside, if you are walking, there's a trail that must be walked, and must be careful walking on that trail up and down. It's rather steep and rocky. So be careful as you're moving around to each event. In the event that we do have an injury or an illness, we do ask that, even though you take care of it, we ask that you report that to one of the contest officials so that we can have a record of it and we know what's going on in case something turns worse. So please let us know if there's any kind of illness or injury related to the contest during the contest time. We will, like I said before, have water stations available around. I just want to reiterate the point that those will be available, and we do require that you bring your own refillable water bottle. I want to cover coaching while we're at the contest. I appreciate the coaches that we have out there, and I appreciate your enthusiasm and all you do. But at the event, we're going to have to ask for no coaching or helping with gear during the event. This is the time for the kids to demonstrate what they've learned and the skills they've acquired. So we want to keep it strictly the kids doing all of it, whether it's actually doing the event or setting up their equipment for the event. Once they walk into an event area, let's just say an area where they bring their equipment in. If they're shooting, they bring their equipment in. They need to know how to set up their own equipment. They need to know how to put together their bow and all of that kind of that kind of detail. So at that point, the coaches, the parents are all back behind a certain line, and that's where they need to stay. Other things might include spotting or calling shots out, during a shooting event, where to put your foot on the climbing wall, where there's a foot peg to grab a hold of, where they saw fish biting for another group if we're down to fishing, things like that. Just need to leave that for the kids. Let them look around, be observant, and see what's going on, and let them do the event. So we do ask for no coaching or helping during the actual event time.
Once your team arrives at the location, we will have some designated areas to park in. And so please make sure you are parking in a marked space in the parking lot. Also, there will be an area out near the baseball field where we will allow teams to set up canopies and such. So if that's something that's of interest to you, then you're certainly welcome to do that underneath some of the shade trees that are out by the tennis courts and the baseball field. Also, teams may bring a non-motorized wagon or a cart to carry their equipment around, and also to shuttle maybe some water or food or whatnot from event to event. But in all of that, we ask that no motorized vehicles are used in transporting around the center, with the exception of hauling equipment down lakeside. One thing that everybody needs to know is that each night, once the event is over, the gates will be locked. So we ask that teams not leave anything behind that they might need after you leave.
We're going to go down the list of event rules and descriptions now and just highlight a few of the details that we think are pertinent to what you need to know. Of course, you need to know all of it, and so don't forget to look at the entire listing and descriptions on the Rules and Resources Guide. We're going to start with shotgun. And mainly there, shotgun contestants need to have handled and fired the shotgun that they're going to use. This includes assembling the shotgun, safe handling of the shotgun, loading it, knowing how to load it with a single shot because that's required, and then how to shoot it. So that handling of that shotgun is very important. Going down to the canoe and kayaking event, we actually are going to be kayaking this year again, and we'll be using tandem kayaks. That means both contestants in a team sit in the kayak and paddle together. So because of that, kids need to learn how to paddle together. So they need to practice paddling together. That in itself can be a skill. Also, they need to be practiced in launching and landing the kayak. Launching is most important because as soon as we say go, the kayak starts on the shoreline and their time starts as well. And remember, closed-toed shoes are mandatory. And that's closed-toed shoes with at least a strap across the back of the foot. So no open-back shoes and no open-toed shoes. In the fishing event, fishing times will be divided into two 30-minute segments. Only one team member will fish in each of these segments. The other team member during that time, who's not fishing, can assist with gear and measuring fish and anything else that the other team member needs except for the actual fishing. And don't forget, barbless hooks only in this event, even on lures.
While we're talking about scoring and tabulations, if a team or individual chooses not to compete in one or more event, that team or individual will receive a zero. Also, each team's low score will be dropped from their overall total score.
This year we've added something new to our Rules and Resources Guide, and that is a description of placing points. We use placing points and have used them for quite some time, but we always get questions about how do they work. So we've added a placing point description in there and described how they're used and given you some examples. And you'll see when you look at each of the events, it'll tell you whether or not there's placing points being used. Lastly, we want to point out the supply list toward the end of the Rules and Resources Guide. We've talked earlier about some of the things that the contestants need to take, but there is a list of required supplies in there. There's also a list of suggested supplies, which we suggest pretty strongly. And then there's a short list of not allowed. One of those is a motorized cart. We've talked about that, ATVs. But also we haven't talked about use of tobacco of any type. So we want to make sure folks understand that there's no use of tobacco at all by youth or adults during this event. One last thing I want to talk to you about is our new schedule. We have a tentative schedule posted in the Rules and Resources Guide, and we've also alluded to that in our announcement online. But this year, the schedule is going to change to a two-day format versus the three-day. So it's going to go something like this. On the first day, Sunday, June 21st, you're going to arrive at noon to start checking in. And then our first event is going to happen during that check-in time. And we'll have a short orientation. Right after that, right before our first three concurrent events, which will take us into late afternoon, and then we'll break for the day. The next day, second day, Monday, June 22nd, we'll start at 8 a.m. with three concurrent events, break sometime for lunch, whenever that time allows, start back up after that lunch break with our second round, or third round, actually, of three concurrent events, which will round out our 10 events. Then we'll stop for final tabulations, and then we'll have awards immediately following our final tabulations, and then we'll depart for home, which will end that day in late afternoon, probably time to get supper on the drive home. Well, thanks for listening to our orientation. We hope you've gotten something out of it. Be sure to go back to the Rules and Resources Guide that is posted on the Outdoor Education webpage of the 4-H website. And we will see you down the road.